And welcome back to Channel 9 Live. I'm Larry Larson. I'm joined here today with Sam Moreau. And we're going to talk about Windows 8 UI today. So yeah. This is very exciting. This is one of my favorite parts of Windows 8.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be here. This
so
is fun.
So if you want to tweet your questions, just send them to #CH9Live, and we'll get to those. So tell me about your role. What do you do on Windows?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I run the user experience team, so mm-hmm. I am the head of the director of design and research on Windows, and on my team are all the designers and researchers for both Windows and Windows Live. And been at Microsoft for about 5 years or so, and got to work on Windows 7 as well.
And so it must be pretty exciting to be able to finally tell people about Windows 8 and show them how it works.
It is.
Let them get it in their hands.
It really is, actually. It's been really a great feeling to be able to sort of finally pull back the covers on this, because we've been working on it so hard for a while, and we've sort of felt like, we didn't even tell our families about this thing. Really trying to keep this thing under wraps, because we wanted to be able to sort of show it when it was ready. It's palpable now and really fun to sort of have everybody feel it and the excitement that's in the air. I've been walking around, seeing everybody laying on the beanbags playing with it, and I got to tell you, it's a great feeling to finally have them get to use it and put it in their hands.
How's the response been? I mean, I saw some of the comments to your session you did, and it seemed very popular.
It's been amazing. It's been really great. A bunch of people came up to me after my talk and after some of the other talks about basically saying, wow, it's amazing. It's so beautiful. Some of the tweets that I've been seeing are hilarious. People are just saying all these great things about Windows is this is amazing. We've reimagined Windows. I can't believe it. This is awesome. It's exciting. It's really exciting.
So let's start in about some of the new things here. Let's talk about swiping in from the edges.
Yeah. So this was a pretty interesting revelation. I'll take you back a little bit into the design process, and we were working on this idea that we wanted Windows to be in the background. We wanted apps to shine. We wanted to make all these great apps and let them literally be full screen. That's really hard though, because it's really hard to make designs that are invisible, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. They're off screen. And we were playing with this idea of man, it'd be great if for some reason apps could take every pixel.
Yeah.
But then how do you know how to use the whole system? And so we were literally made these pieces of cardboard. And we made because you didn't have slates and things like this. And so we made these little pieces of cardboard, and we'd carry them around. And we're we noticed, interesting. Notice where all of our thumbs sit, right? And we realized there's something really interesting here about what if we just put it underneath your thumb.
Yeah.
And so we put a bunch of the UI directly underneath your thumb, and that was sort of one of our big breakthroughs, because we realized we could totally do this.
So your thumbs are, if you're sitting in an airplane, on a couch or something like that, it's just where you are.
Yeah. So and it turned out to be incredibly intuitive. And we learned a whole bunch. We started studying thumbs, and we were measuring thumbs with calipers and all this crazy stuff to try to really understand what it meant to design something like touch first and intuitive. And we realized that the significance of thumbs, that's what led us to the edges.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what led us to the primary functions being the things that are directly underneath your thumb.
So about some of the studying that you did in preparation for this, one of the comments that I saw, I did an interview with Jensen.
Yeah.
And one of the people on Channel 9 commented, I'm left-handed, so can I switch those around? And I kind of thought, you're using both thumbs. Do you really need to switch them around?
It was one of the first comments actually that we got when we came up with this. And we were working on this prototype, and we had a bunch of work where we were trying to figure out the switching model, thing where you swipe from the left-hand side, and we were trying to work on how the charms come from the right-hand side. And we were sort of maybe we need to make it so that, left-handed people can have this way and right-handed people this way. And we were that's okay. So we went and found a bunch of left-handed people, on the team, across the team, and some usability participants. And one thing, we did a bunch of tests with them, and we let them do it, either way. And we realized that even the left-handed people used their left hand as a prop for viewing angles. So as you can see I'm doing here, one of the things that people do with these devices is they use one hand, predominantly the left hand, to control viewing angle. Right?
Whether so when you're holding the device, it's kind of the stand. It's holding the device.
Yeah. Usually you rest it against something. Because these devices are not exactly something that you really want to hold with one hand.
Sure.
So people are flopped on their couch, they're on the airport, they're on a bus. the weight of it is resting on their hand, or their legs, sorry, or on a pillow or something like that. And they use this left hand to control the viewing angle, basically how it tilts, mm-hmm. right? And what that left was the right hand for all the interaction. And so, like I said, we took this to like left-handed people, let them try it as well. Almost all of them did the same thing as the right-handed people. So we realized like it's really not as big of a, they actually didn't want it to be different. Like a bunch of people said the same thing, like conceptually or logically, you think you want it reversed.
Yeah.
But what we found is people actually didn't, and they didn't use it that way.
Yeah, so we've got a tweet now from Sprite XP. It says, should every kind of application migrate to a Metro style over time?
The way I would say that is, well, first thing I would say is that we don't know. Like, we don't know yet what all the great applications are going to be.
Sure, yeah.
Right? This is the beginning of, like,
it's for developers to figure out. Yeah.
It's like, this is the beginning of, like, go figure out and imagine what great apps can happen. It's not as simple as, like, porting the past into the future. Right, and so the first thing I would say is I don't know, because you have to think about like developing your app, and maybe your app is different than it is in its you know, mouse and keyboard form or desktop form than it is in the future touch first way. But also I would say, and we've mentioned this a bunch, is that the desktop is great. Mouse and keyboard are great.
Yeah.
Applications are great that take advantage of that. Things like keyboard shortcuts, things like, you know, like we've mentioned Photoshop and another number of things like that. Like, I'm a designer. I use Photoshop constantly.
Yeah.
Like, I always want to use that with mouse and keyboard, as far as I know, unless somebody goes and reimagines how to do that.
Yeah.
But in its current form, I love it in a mouse and keyboard way.
Yeah, you know, I do a little design too. I'm in Photoshop quite a bit. And one of my favorite things about Windows 8 is there's options. There's options for everything. If you're a keyboard and mouse user, you're okay. If you like touch, I like to use a pen. So, you know, I love being able to do a pen in Photoshop.
Yeah, it was one of the really difficult design challenges. It's because these modalities are different. Using touch is different than using a mouse and keyboard. And you have to design for that. You can't. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we learned in 7 is that you can't touchify a UI that's based on mouse and keyboard. It doesn't do enough. Like, mouse is precise. Your finger is not super precise. It happens to be really, you know, intuitive, but it's not the, you know, sharpest instrument. And so we learned that there's a distinct difference between it, and it's really challenging to make a design system that works great in both.
Yeah.
And we're pretty proud of what we've done so far, and we're going to continue to make it better, but we think we've done something that we're pretty proud of.
So design alone at Microsoft really seems to be catching its stride right now. Tell us a little bit about what's going on inside Microsoft with design.
Yeah, I'm really proud to be a part of like design at Microsoft, and because where it's at is like it's this incredibly talented group of people. Like, we have a large, talented, some of the most talented designers I've ever worked with in my entire career at Microsoft. And now we're starting to really bring to the market some beautiful products. So, like, you know, the phone is beautiful. It's an excellent product. Xbox, Office, Bing, like, there's all these great products that are coming out of us. And we're really proud of that. And we work really closely together across the entire company. That's also something that we're really, really proud of. The design community is really pretty close-knit.
Yeah. So we've got another tweet here that I want to read from Al. Al, how you doing, buddy? It says, how do you close Metro apps, not suspend them, close them? This is a question I've seen
this comes up a lot in the last couple days. Yeah, somebody came up to me yesterday, grabbed me in the hall, and said, can you tell me how to close this?
Yeah.
Well, you don't. The answer is you don't.
Yeah.
They get suspended. You can close them using, you know, the task manager, as we showed. But the idea really is that we want apps that are like really performant and they behave well and they suspend quickly and
they're suspended, they're not eating memory.
They're not eating memory. And so almost it's one of those things that we want to go away. The idea that you have to close your stuff in order to have your system run. We want great apps that run great and they're like well behaved from a system standpoint. They suspend well. And so that you don't have to think about the idea, like the concept of close, maybe, you know, that you don't have to think about that. It's not something that worries you. You get to just love using the device. You get to love using your apps.
So another question that I've seen on forums in the last 2 days is, how do you bring up charms with a mouse?
Yeah, so this is interesting. Going back to how we talked about designing for mouse and designing for touch, and I talked about, like, with the device, how each time each interaction modality, whether it's mouse or hands, we decide design for that. With the hands, thumbs are super important, so things come from the edge. But it turns out there's something called Fitt's Law. Fitt's Law says with a mouse that the easiest place basically to target with a mouse is the corners, right? Because you can just throw the mouse into the corner and there's the highest tolerance there, basically. And so the way you do it is you throw the mouse into the lower left-hand corner.
And where the start button was before.
Where the start button has always been.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what we tried to model after. You've always known. You've always gone to that lower left-hand corner for that.
It's so natural.
That's where you put it with the mouse.
Very nice. So I want to ask a couple things. Most people know what charms are, but can you just go over charms for those who might not know?
Charms are, we think charms are really important. They are the sort of new ways for users, from a user standpoint, there's the new ways for users to bank on certain functionalities that we think, certain functions that we think are essential and ubiquitous. Search, share, start, devices, and settings. So like those are the types of things that we want to give the user confidence that they're there for them, always.
Yeah.
To the developer, they're really interesting because they allow you an opportunity to hook into the system in ways that are really powerful. Like someone mentioned yesterday, I believe it was in Jensen's talk, where he talked about the idea that an app developer can develop an app, and at the other end of a scenario is an app that has not yet been built, and they don't even have, there's no working together, and that to the user, they get to finish these scenarios through those charms, with an app that doesn't even exist yet. Like we're really excited that apps that we don't know about are going to be amazing. There's a bunch of amazing apps opportunities out there, and we're really excited that people are going to build amazing things, and they're going to light up through these charms.
Yeah, we got another question here, and of course, if you want your question answered, just tweet us at #CH9Live, and we'll get to your questions. This is your big chance. It's Windows 8 UI. So we got one from Soul Swede. When running many apps, is there a faster way to switch between, let's say, the first and tenth app, other than swiping 9 times?
Yeah, there's a little trick that we put in there that allows you to, when you're swiping, so you sort of swipe from the left-hand side, and then you could swipe through 9 times or whatever. But if you do this quick little gesture where you sort of bring in and then move back, it's almost like you're sort of taking the top of a deck of playing cards, you're taking the top card and you're sort of flipping it like a magician back into the bottom of the stack.
Tricky.
You do that. You do this little flip with your thumb, and it puts that one that's underneath your thumb away and grabs the next one. And so you can do a quick little ch-ch-ch and you'll get to the one you want really quickly.
Awesome. So another thing I wanted to ask about is status badges. What are status badges?
Status badges, see if I can pull up. You mean the little numbers and things that come up? Like those little badges are the ability for one of the ways for the tiles and apps to communicate with you. They allow the app to communicate something that's essential or necessary to me, the user, and so that I'm compelled to go back into that app. It's about compelling me in, bringing me back into the app, and it's it's the thing that we want this to be immersive and compelling, and that's one of the ways for apps to really entice their users in.
Yeah. So one of the things I want to talk about is for the power user who's just used to a keyboard and mouse. What are the things that you would tell them? And also one of the things I noticed too is there's a MSDN article that came out yesterday about all kinds of new keyboard shortcuts, which are one of my favorite things.
Well, it turns out that for the enthusiasts in our fan base or in our that use Windows, it turns out a lot of those enthusiasts actually work on Windows. Mm-hmm. So people that are really enthusiastic about it are some of our developers and such. And so one of the things that they do is they put in all these keyboard shortcuts and power commands and all this other thing. And it's always really fun actually to go and look up and find the whole list of all of them, because even I sometimes am wow, I didn't know that one existed.
Yeah.
Right. And somebody on our team was figured out how to I really want to do this, and so they put that keyboard shortcut in, and they're awesome. Going back to Photoshop, I can't imagine not using Photoshop without my keyboard shortcuts.
Yeah.
It's really hard to imagine that you would do that. And so Windows loves the keyboard shortcut, and we love to put them out there. And I always love the little Easter eggs of those lists that exist. I go and look at them myself to find out stuff.
So for designers who haven't done like a Windows Phone app and Metro, they aren't used to Metro, where are the places they should look? How should they ramp up and get used to the design principles behind Metro?
Yeah, so one of the first thing I would start is like to, you know, something to think about is like to watch, you know, Jensen's session and watch my session from yesterday. And that'll give you the sort of like the broad overview in Jensen's, and mine will give you the overview of the principles and the thinking and sort of like where this Metro like philosophy comes from, and some principles to put in practice, like on how to actually make your own decisions. But then, like, one of the things that I'm really proud of is just the amount of content that we are producing for app developers at this conference. Like,
yeah,
all these sessions are amazing. And you can go and, like, you know, I've been watching some this morning, and it's just, you know, it's just fascinating to see how deep we allow people to go into some of these concepts. And also how fast and easy it was. Just as a tangent, we had a guy, we were sitting over here the other night after when they gave out the devices, and everybody was sitting around in the beanbags, and this guy, this developer came up to us, and he was like asking us a question. He's like, wait a minute, can you show me how you do this? Or, and then he'd go back to his beanbag, and he'd play a little bit, and he'd come back, and he's like, wait, can you tell me what this is? And he came back, like an hour later with an app.
Nice.
He had a phone app, and he had actually, you know, done a few lines of code, hooked it into some of the contracts, and he'd ported it, a XAML phone app, basically. He'd ported it all the way over into Windows 8, and it was amazing. It was awesome. Like, he did it in like an hour.
Nice.
It was awesome.
Nice. So we've got another tweet up here that I want to read from Takia Show. What about using two screens? How will the design split?
Yeah, we showed this in the keynote. Steven talked about this, the multi-monitor. We've done a bunch of work for multi-monitor stuff.
Yeah, it seems like there are some changes there.
Yeah, there's a lot of like cool stuff going on in the multi-monitor thing. We think it's pretty interesting. You know, it's this idea that like people love of actually having like big panorama photos
yeah.
going across, having the taskbar sort of actually have knowledge of the two sides. Traditionally, the taskbar has always been like a fill up from
the
left
main
thing.
Screen.
It's
yeah.
just sort of like that's what it does. And now it's sort of there's a taskbar sort of that runs on each one, and when you open a window into the other monitor, the icon jumps over to that taskbar on that side, that monitor, mm-hmm. which people love. Because
yeah.
now like even some of the developers are like they're running all their windows here, they've got the app maybe going here, and they're just loving it.
So we've got another question here. Windows 8 seems less intuitive as far as multitasking, switching between apps, keyboard and mouse. Is this still a whip?
Yeah. So less intuitive is interesting, actually. Like one of the things, it feels like it's actually more intuitive. But
yeah.
I think it's different.
Like we're 2 days into this, so.
Yeah, you have to, there is a shift. And it's interesting because now, like when I go back to other devices, I sort of feel like all of a sudden I lost something essential. Like
yeah.
I can't believe, you know, the PC hasn't always worked like this.
Yeah.
And so I think the intuitive thing is a thing that you sort of like, it comes all of a sudden.
It grows over time.
Yeah, I don't think that it was always intuitive to take a mouse and, you know, drag it along the bottom of a screen to click on, you know, little pieces of little icons and stuff like that. Like, that was, we grew over 25 years or so to, like, make that intuitive.
Yeah.
But, like I said, we're 2 days into this. And
yeah.
so I do think that, you know, the intuitive, I think that we designed it to be pretty intuitive, and I'm pretty excited. I think it will be when you sort of have your hands on it for like an hour.
Yeah. I mean, just like Steven said, I mean, when I got my first touch machine with Windows 7, a couple months later, I'm trying to swipe on all my screens, and mm-hmm. I'm like, what's going on? It's not working here.
It's totally
so
true.
It's something that grows over time, and
it's
you,
totally
you learn
true.
To adapt to that.
Yeah, you realize that, you know, people expect, like, it becomes so natural. I do this too. I have a in addition to some touch machines, I have a laptop that's non-touch. And I'll be sitting there typing, and I'll go, bam, send on an email. And, oh, wait, this isn't a touch machine. And, like, oh, I always get myself, and I got to find the mouse and go over and, you know.
I was copying a big file the other day, and the file dialog was up on the screen. Charles Torrey comes over, and he touches on the cancel on the screen. It's like, no, but it wasn't a touch device. But it's just something, it's intuitive. It's
yeah,
something that
it
just
really
becomes
is.
Natural over time.
It really is.
All right, so we've got another tweet here. M.W. Campbell, you say we shouldn't close apps, but what if we spend time in Desktop 2 and want to unclutter our alt tab list?
We spend time on to unclutter our alt tab list.
I mean, there is
well,
always the task manager.
Yeah, and in the alt tab list, so again, in the desktop, there's always still all the control there to close
yeah.
things. And, you know, the things that are going to show up in the alt tab list are going to be things like all of your windows. They will be easy to sort of clean up. This is something, though, that keeps coming up. Like, and one of the things about doing a developer preview like this is we're still learning all the different parts of the system. And so, like, we're still working on this. Like,
yeah.
You know, Windows 8 isn't done yet. They're still working on this.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is a thing that keeps coming up. We've been feeling it. We'll keep working on this.
Yeah, we have time. So we've got another from Biohazard 135. Why does Microsoft believe changing the familiar Windows experience is a good idea?
Because life is changing around computing.
Everybody is resistant to change in some way or another.
Right. Yeah, one of the things, you know, I say sometimes to my team is that, you know, change is bad unless it's great.
Yeah.
You know, and part of that is because it gives you, like, this sort of responsibility and accountability that if you're going to change something, if you're going to move someone's cheese, it better be great, right?
Yeah.
It better be great. And we think that all these things have gone on in computing in the last 25 years. So, and those things require a different type of PC. They require a different kind of experience. And things like touch, things like the internet, like when the UI conventions of Windows started, like the major ones, come back around Windows 95, which is like they started working on in like 1993. And that's what established the taskbar, the start menu, you know.
And those were changes. I mean, I remember back in those days, people said, you know, why did you change things? I was used to it before.
Right.
And I couldn't imagine going back to those times now.
And if you think about the things that didn't exist when that convention was invented or created, it was, again, it was like 1993. You didn't have the internet.
Yeah.
You didn't have a digital camera, so you didn't have photos. You didn't have a phone that was in your pocket, or especially one that did the internet in your pocket.
Yeah.
Right? All these things didn't exist. And so you weren't touching the screen of anything probably really at that time, maybe a kiosk of some sort. But all these things changed, and they changed. Computing and technology has changed around us.
Yeah.
And so we had to make something that was for, like, modern time.
Great. And if you want to get your questions answered, we're talking about Windows UI, Windows 8 UI, so tweet your questions to #CH9Live, and we'll get them answered here. So tell us a little bit about how you test. How does Metro, how did it grow over time, and what are the things that you did to figure out what's going to be intuitive and what will be natural for people?
There's two parts of it. I'll sort of give you a little bit of the sort of, like, where does Metro come from, and then I'll talk about, like, how we developed it and tested it and some of those things. Metro is a very fresh new thing, we think, but it's rooted in actually quite old classic design philosophies. Like, it comes, you know, the reductionism comes from things like Bauhaus movement and the modern design movement, and the focus on, like, beautiful graphic design and typography comes from, like, Swiss design and, like, the international typographic movement. All of this is, like, in my talk, my session that I gave yesterday, and everybody's happy to watch, or, you know, you're welcome to watch. And so some of it really comes from, like, really just classic design philosophy thinking. And that was something that we really tried to bring to software because we think it's time. We think it's time for it to be, you know, great design. And in terms of, like, how we tested it and things, like, we just, like, we do what you'd expect us to do. Like, we think about, like, the problem space, and then we try to find a solution in the problem space. And we draw pictures. We, like, make comps. We do prototypes. We would develop stuff, and then we would try to use it. We try to figure out how it works. And a really, really defining moment in the development of Windows 8 around that switch thing, and we'd worked on a number of different ways to switch. Like, everybody's asked questions like, how do I switch between this app and this running app or whatever? Trust me, we worked on that a lot.
Yeah.
And because it's one of the foundations of what Windows does, is it, like, allows you to run different apps and switch between them. That's what Windows is, one of the basic functions of it. So we knew that had to be great. And we made these prototypes, and I remember the moment. I walked out of my office, and one of the developers had made a prototype, and he was walking down the hallway with it. It was like a clunky kind of old laptop that we'd been using to develop this thing. And he was like, try this, and he hands it to me. And I put my hands on it, and I just started flipping, and all of a sudden it was like, eureka, that's right.
Yeah.
We just nailed
that
it.
That is
we
how
just
it should be.
That's how it should work. It should just be natural and intuitive. And it's the kind of thing that you can like logically explain that's how it works as a designer and be like, yeah, maybe it should work like this. But when you feel it, you know it's right.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that's been really important with this release, is when you feel it, you know it's right.
Yeah, that's the important thing. You know when you have it right.
Right. And that's why it's so exciting that all the developers here at the conference got these devices to build and, you know, prototype on, is because they can feel it. Yeah. It's really important to feel the difference.
And it's good they get a chance. I mean, with all the sensors and everything, they really push the event horizon out and see what you can do with all of this.
Yeah, and it's like, just play with it, have fun, and like reimagine it. Like really sit down, sit on your couch while you're doing it and imagine, you know, how you're going to use it and have fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Awesome. We've got another one from Al here. Why not enable the same gestures with the mouse as with touch, dragging to scroll in the start screen, for example? This is a good question.
Yeah, dragging to scroll on a start screen.
I mean, one of the things with a mouse is a single touch point, and there's things that you can do with multiple touch points that you're just not going to be able to do the same things with a mouse.
It's one of those things that, we thought the same thing. We thought, I know, let's have symmetry of the system where everything's exactly the same, but it's like, it doesn't work that way. I've got 10 of these things, right? And I can use them in different ways. I can, like, touch, and I can drag, and I can do multi-touch at the same time, and I can do gestures that are much richer. Like, my interaction language with these are much richer than with a pointer, right? Which is like sitting over on the desk and it's just singular. It just sort of points at a thing. And so we looked, our starting point was the same, to be honest. With everything, we started from the standpoint of like, let's make everything the same.
Yeah.
And when it breaks, then you understand, go try to understand like what is great about the specific input. Like what's great about touch and what's great about mouse, and let's make sure we keep that greatness about that modality.
Yeah, one of my favorite things to do on a tablet PC is paint an Art Rage. And I mean, it's a multi-touch point thing now.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to be able to pan the canvas around. I want to be able to paint with the pen. I want to be able to multi-touch with my fingers.
Right.
And there's a lot of things going on there that you really need all this interaction with that you couldn't do with. I mean, you hook up two mouses and you still couldn't do that, right?
Right. It's the beauty of making something that's direct, right? Like, touch is direct. A mouse is indirect. It's an abstraction. It's sitting over on the desk and it's moving something over here on the screen. And there's a difference between there, and you have to really like understand it and play with it. And you have to try stuff. You have to experiment. And that's one of the things that we learned a lot is we would experiment. We prototype like crazy. And that was really where we learned a whole bunch of this, because there isn't like books written yet about how to do this, right? There aren't.
There's a lot to be discovered yet.
Right.
Awesome. Well, Sam, thank you for being here today. We really appreciate it.
This has been fun.